And so I want to bring your attention to this discipleship opportunity in our church. You will find out what it is for, how it works, and what to expect from the insert. On the back side, you will see some testimonies on what some of the people have to say after they have been through it. And so I really want to encourage you to make good use of this opportunity in our church. Now, we have been going through the theme of our church this year, which is to develop mature believers. Do you guys remember the three descriptions that we came up for a mature Christian? Okay, very good. Know God and His truth, love God and His people, and serve God and His purpose. And we have already spent 5 Sundays doing more in-depth studies on each of these descriptions. For know God and His truth, we've talked about the existence of God, how we can know this God personally, as well as why we can have confidence in the Word of God, God's truth, the Bible. For love God and His people, we look at the 10 commandments and learn how does God want us to love Him and love one another. And then last Sunday, we begin to talk about serve God and His purpose. Specifically, we look at the Great Commission and we look at how does that tie into the vision of our church. Now, this morning, I want to further encourage you to serve God and His purpose by talking about obey God's call in your life. Now, if you have ever tried to obey God in your life, you would know that obey God is not necessarily easy. Very often, God will ask us to step out of our comfort zone in order to obey Him. God asks us to do things that usually do not come natural to us. And He challenges us to trust in Him by stepping out in faith. Last Sunday, we talked about how God wants every one of us to be involved in making disciples. And I believe that for the most of us, we're not comfortable about doing it. Most of us feel inadequate in some ways. We question, who are we to help other people grow spiritually? We think about ourselves and then we realize that, you know, I don't even know God that well myself. I certainly don't have my life together as a Christian. I don't know what to say. I don't have all the answers. So how can I be involved in making disciples? So you see, when we think about our inadequacies, it is easy for us to get discouraged and think that this mandate to make disciples is probably only for the pastors, the elders, and the deacons. Or maybe also for our fellowship group leaders, our Sunday school teachers, and our youth counselors. But definitely not for the rest of us. Now this morning, we're going to learn from a very famous person in the Old Testament. Now, this person performed many miracles in his life. This person had an incredibly intimate and vibrant relationship with God. This person was responsible for the first 5 books in the Old Testament. Do you guys know who I'm talking about? Moses. Very good. You see, most of us think of Moses as this spiritual giant, you know, who had this incredible faith in God. But did you know that before he was this spiritual giant, he struggled with obeying God in his life? And so this morning, we're going to learn from Moses' struggles. We're going to see how did God address him with his worries and his concerns. And I trust that you will be encouraged from learning from Moses' example. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. So Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament. And this morning we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3 from verse 10 to Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 to Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. Now, before we look at this passage, though, I want to give you a little background about the passage that we're going to look at. Now, if you were to read Exodus chapters 1 and 2, you will find that in this part of the Bible, God's people, the Hebrews, they were being oppressed and enslaved by the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, the Egyptians had become so concerned about the population growth of the Hebrews, they make it a mandate that every Hebrew boy to be born must be killed. And it was in this context that God miraculously saved the life of a young Hebrew boy by the name of Moses. And Moses, he actually ended up to be one of the princes in Egypt. Now, when Moses grew up, though, he decided that he was going to help his own people who were being oppressed. Now, in the process of doing it, in his attempt to help his own people, he actually killed an Egyptian. And so now he became a criminal. And so he had to run for his life. Now, imagine with me for a moment if you were Moses. You thought you were doing the right thing because you wanted to help people who were being oppressed. And in the process of doing so, you actually became a murderer. And now you have to run for the rest of your life. Okay, think about all of the dreams and the ambitions, all of the plans that you have made for the rest of your life. Everything at this moment, everything is tossed out of the window. Right? So life at this time became pretty messed up for Moses. So when we come to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses had been a fugitive for about 40 years. He was pretty old at this time, maybe 80 years old. And he had lived a less than exciting life as a shepherd. He has been spending all of his time with sheep. And all of a sudden, God showed up and caused Moses to serve him. Now, in our passage this morning, we will begin with God's commission to Moses and end with God's and end with Moses' obedience to God's call. But in between, we're going to learn from Moses' struggle with obeying God. And we're going to see that Moses was so unsure about himself. He objected to God not once, not twice, not three times, but five times. Five times Moses told God, "God, I cannot do it." Five times God responded to Moses and addressed his concerns. And as we go through this passage, I trust that you will be able to relate to Moses' struggle. And I hope and I trust that you will be encouraged by God's responses. So let us look at this passage together. First, we see God's commission to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. So the Bible tells us God speaking to Moses now. "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So God comes to Moses and calls him to do a great task. To go and tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, probably one of the most powerful men at that time on the face of the earth, that the Israelites go. Now, if you think about it with me for a moment, God was not only asking Moses to do a daunting task, God really was asking Moses to do an impossible task. You see, you don't just go to a king, especially one of the most powerful men on the face of the earth at that time. "Excuse me, God told me to take all of your slaves, so we gotta go. See you later." I mean, you just don't do that, right? It sounds so crazy. It sounds so impossible. Now, have you ever felt that way about the task that God is calling you to do? You're so overwhelmed by its impossibility, you're thinking to yourself, "God, you've gotta be crazy." Now, let's look at how Moses responded to God. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, we see Moses' first response to God's call. The Bible tells us, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You see, basically, Moses told God that he couldn't do it. Why? Because he was a nobody. You see, first of all, not everyone had access to the king in ancient times, right? Just like today, not every one of us can go and see the president whenever we want. As a matter of fact, if you were a nobody, most likely you would never, ever get to see the king. Secondly, think about it. Even if Moses had the chance to go and see Pharaoh, why would Pharaoh want to listen to him and that Moses take all of their slaves away from him? So once again, this whole thing sounded absolutely crazy. Okay, no wonder Moses felt the way that he did. Now, have you ever felt this way about serving God? Who am I to serve God? I'm a nobody. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right skills. I don't have the right experiences. No one will ever listen to me. Who am I to serve God? Well, let us look at God's responses to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And God said to Moses, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God told Moses, Moses, it is not about who you are. It is actually about who I am. I will be with you, and when I am with you, you will become somebody. You will be able to do the things that you have never thought of possible, and you will bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt to this place and worship me. Now, if you are struggling with being a nobody, this morning, let me tell you this. You have to get this straight. It is not about who you are. It is about who God is. Now, we may all be nobodies, but I want you to know that when God is with us, we become somebody. You see, God's presence in our life adds value and significance to every single one of us. And when God is with us, we are able to do things that we have never thought of possible. Because it was never about us. It has always been about God. Now, would you obey God now if you were Moses? Well, let us look at Moses' response. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, we see Moses' second response to God. So Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? You see, Moses responded to God by saying, all right, God, suppose, okay, let's just say hypothetically, all right, not that I'm really going to go, but just hypothetically, okay, for the sake of argument, that I go, and let's not even talk about Pharaoh now, you know, that whole thing is just ridiculous. Let's talk about your people. Okay, suppose I go to them and they ask me questions about you, what do I tell them? I don't even know who you are. I don't even know your name. I mean, what do I say? All right, so forget about Pharaoh will not listen to me. Even your people will not listen to me. Now, once again, have you ever felt this way before? God, I cannot do it. It's not that I don't want to serve you. I do. But I just don't have all the answers. When people ask me questions, what am I supposed to tell them? And therefore, I cannot do it. Well, let us look at God's response to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So God told Moses, this is his name. I am. I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. In other words, God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, look, this God is not a stranger to you guys. He has always been your God from the very beginning. And not only so, God also tells Moses, now in addition to telling them who I am, I also want you to tell them that I care. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. See, God tells Moses to tell the Israelites that he cares. And because he cares, he has seen everything that has been happening to them. He knew what they were facing. He knew that they were being oppressed. He was aware of their hardships, their trials, and challenges in life. God sees it all, and he is well aware of it all. God watches over his people. He knows everything that is going on in our lives because he cares. But that is not all. God also tells Moses to tell the Israelites that he will deliver them from their oppression and bring them to a better place. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, so far, so good, right? Moses was learning who God is, how much God cares, and what God will do to help the Israelites. Moses didn't know what to say before. Now God has taught him what to say. But there is more. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. You see, God tells Moses to inform the Israelites exactly what will happen. They will go to Pharaoh. They will ask the Pharaoh to let them go. But the Pharaoh will not allow them to go unless he sees for himself how powerful God really is. And when Pharaoh is ready to let them go, all of Egypt will give them whatever they want. Okay, so they will be able to leave with plenty of supplies. And my friends, think about this with me for a moment. Isn't this what we are supposed to tell people about God today as well? We tell people who God is, how much he cares about us, and how he is able and willing to help us. And we are to tell them also that believing in God doesn't mean that life will become easy and comfortable. But God will be with us in the midst of all of our difficulties. And he will make sure that everything work for our good. You see, Moses was so insecure about himself. He felt like a nobody. He didn't know what to say. So when God came to him with a task, he said, God, no can do. Just don't have it. And so God taught Moses that it was not about him. It was about God. God taught Moses what to say, who God is, what he is like, and what he will do for those who trust him, and what to expect even in the midst of life's difficulties. Now, if you were Moses, would you obey God now? Well, let us read on. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, we see Moses' third response. So Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" You see, obviously, Moses was not convinced that anyone would listen to him. After all, people may just think that he was crazy, right? He made all these things up. They may say, "Wow, look at this 80-year-old guy. Ooh, he thought God showed up to him. Crazy." Right? No one would believe him. And so as Moses continued to struggle with his inadequacy, we continue to see how God comes to help him. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. "Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. 'This,' said the Lord, 'is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.' Then the Lord said, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. 'Now put it back into your cloak,' he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, 'If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground.'" So God showed Moses three miracles. Okay, if anyone were to doubt Moses, Moses was to use these miracles as proofs that God really appeared to him and God has sent him to lead them out of Egypt. Now, that's a pretty cool thing, don't you think? Right? Moses was so unsure about himself and how people will receive him. And in order to give him confidence, God empowered Moses to do miracles. And not just one, but three. What a good deal, right? I mean, how would you like to walk around being able to do miracles? Guys, watch, here's a stick. Whoa, snake. Ah, pretty cool, huh? Oh, wait. Watch. Ooh, leprous hands. Whoa, bloody water. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Now, if you were Moses, right? Now that God has enabled you to do miracles, are you ready to obey God's call? Well, let us find out from the Bible. So in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, we see Moses' fourth response. So Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue." So despite God's response to every single one of Moses' objections so far, Moses still didn't want to do it. And this time, his reason was, "Look, God, I'm a horrible speaker. Okay, I have never liked public speaking. I'm horrible with words. I stutter, and so I cannot do it." Now, how many of you can relate to this fear of Moses, the fear of public speaking? Yeah, most of us do, right? Most of us don't feel comfortable speaking in public. Doesn't matter if it's to an audience of 3 or 3,000, right? Public speaking is scary, period, right? And so basically, Moses was telling God, "Look, God, you can go with me all you want. You can tell me to say all you want. Okay, you can empower me to do miracles all you want. The fact remains that I'm a lousy speaker. And I'm afraid of public speaking, so I cannot do it." Now imagine with me for a moment, this time you're not Moses, okay, but you're God. How would you respond to Moses now? Okay, three times Moses came up with excuses to not obey you. And every single time you patiently help Moses to look at his concerns, all right? And three times you tell him, "Don't worry, I'm going to help you." And now he comes back with this response. So if you were God, how would you respond to Moses? Maybe some of us would just zap Moses, right? Well, let's look at how God responds in Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." And so this time, God told Moses, "Don't you think I know what you are capable of? Now, Moses, who made you? I did. I know you better than you know yourself. And so remember, once again, it is not about you. I will help you, so go and do it." Now, don't you think it's true that so often we think we know better than God does, when in reality, God knows better than we do? You see, God made us. Okay, He knows every single one of us so well. He knows our limitations, our capacities, our fears, our limitations. He knows everything. We don't need to tell God, but God needs to tell us. Sometimes God needs to tell us to face our fears if we want to obey and serve Him in our life. And the good news is that God will help us to overcome our fears. Once again, we have to remember it is not about us. It is about God. And we may have genuine and legitimate fears, but God will help us to overcome them. So finally, Moses was ready to step out in faith, right? Let us look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. "But Moses said, 'Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it.'" Okay, so Moses was still not ready, right? So after God has addressed every single one of his concerns, Moses flat out told God, "You know, God, will you please just get somebody else to do it?" Now, how do you like Moses now, huh? Do you still think of him as this spiritual giant who always had it right about his relationship with God? You see, even after all of the reassurances from God, Moses still felt inadequate, and he didn't want to obey God's call. Now, can you guys relate to Moses? You see, we can have all of our concerns addressed by God or by other people, but even that sometimes cannot take away the insecurity we feel on the inside, right? If we're honest, so often we are just like Moses. We want to tell God, "God, please, just get somebody else to do it, right? They would do a better job. You don't have to bother with me." Well, let us check out God's response to Moses this time in Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it.'" Now, thankfully, God doesn't give up on us. So despite Moses' stubborn refusal, God did not give up on Moses. God already knew how Moses was going to respond, so God had already sent help on the way. Despite Moses' inadequacy and insecurity, God was not going to let Moses cave into his fears. So God was going to help Moses, whether he felt like it or not. Finally, Moses stepped out in faith and obeyed God. Let us look at the end of our passage, Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. "Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive.' Jethro said, 'Go, and I wish you well.' Now the Lord has said to Moses in Midian, 'Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead.' So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. and he took the staff of God in his hand. So apparently, Moses didn't want to do what God asked of him, not only because he felt inadequate, but also because he was afraid for his own life. But since God has taken care of all of his concerns, okay, Moses now had no choice but to trust God and step out in faith. Now, I want you to listen very carefully right now, because this is the point. This is what I want you to get this morning. I want you to see that God did not choose Moses because Moses was better than everyone else. Right? We have already seen from this morning how insecure Moses was and how inadequate he felt. And so why did God choose somebody like that to serve him? You see, God chose Moses despite his past failures and his lack of confidence. I mean, Moses was nowhere close to being perfect. He had a criminal record, right? Remember, he killed someone. Now, today we would hesitate to hire somebody like that. Now, remember, his knowledge of God was very limited. He didn't even know what was God's name. His faith in God was almost non-existent. So every time God tells him to do it, he said, no, I cannot do it. But you see, this actually made Moses a perfect candidate for serving God. You see, precisely because Moses was so inadequate and so insecure, God chose Moses out of his grace so that Moses could really, really know God. See, this way, Moses would know for a fact that if anything were to happen, it wasn't because he was so good. It wasn't because, you know, he had all the right education, the right skills, the right experiences. Not because he was so eloquent and he was such a wonderful speaker. None of that. This way, Moses would know for a fact, wow, it was all God. He did it all. You see, my friends, God is not so concerned about what you and I can do for him. I mean, let's face it, right? As good as many of us are, none of us will impress God. Did you know that? You will never be able to do anything that makes God go, wow, man, you're good. Whew, you are good. That's never going to happen. So God is really more concerned about developing our faith in him if we would only let him do so. Now, if you were to read throughout the rest of the book of Exodus, you will find that Moses' choice to obey God here really was the beginning of his journey of knowing and experiencing God. With every choice he made to obey God from this point on, Moses began to grow in his faith. And every time Moses stepped out in faith to obey God, he found that God was completely trustworthy. And so the more he obeyed God, the better he came to know God. And the better he came to know God, the more he was able to trust God. And the more he was able to trust God, the more he grew in his faith in God. So let me ask you this question. Why are you here this morning? Do you really want to grow spiritually? Do you long to know God better and experience him more? Now, if your answer is yes, you need to step out in faith, trust God, and obey him. So let me leave you with this question. Will you obey God's call to serve him and his purpose? Whatever God is calling you to do, however impossible you think that is, no matter how inadequate you feel, if God calls you to do it, will you trust him and do it? Now, this morning, as we come to the Holy Communion, let our participation in the Holy Communion this morning be a response of our willingness to serve God and his purpose in our lives. Let God help you to face your fears and to overcome them. Trust God, obey him, and you will begin to experience how good and faithful God really is. This time, I want to invite our ministry leaders to come up and help me to distribute the bread and the cup in the Holy Communion. Now, if you have already trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you have been baptized, we want to welcome you to partake the Holy Communion with us. But if you haven't done so yet, we want to invite you to trust in Jesus today. And we also want to encourage you to get baptized at the earliest opportunity possible. As we wait for the bread and the cup to come, I want you to think about now, what has God been calling you to do? And what are your fears? What's keeping you from obeying God? Well, you take this time to be honest with God and to tell God and see how He will address your fears. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He was having a supper with His disciples. And during that meal, He took the bread, He gave thanks, and then He broke it. He told them that this is My body, which is broken for you. So whenever you guys gather together to share a meal like this, I want you to remember what I have done for you. So this morning, we have come to the Lord's table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for every one of us. It's because of Him that we get a second chance. And really, for us to serve God is our response to God's love in our life. The Bible tells us if we have truly understood how much God loves us and what He has done for us, then we will want to surrender our lives to serve Him. This morning, I invite you to eat this bread as God's people in remembrance of God's love for us. The Bible tells us during that same meal, Jesus took the cup and then He told His disciples, "This is the new covenant in My blood. And so whenever you drink of it, I want you to remember Me." So the Bible tells us Jesus suffered and died for us so that we will no longer live in our sins. From now on, we will live a life that will serve God's purpose. So once again, as we wait for the cup to come, I invite you to take this time to pray to God. Examine your life. The Bible encourages us to do so, to see whether we are really walking in the faith. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I know that for many of us, our past failures have often kept us from serving God. Many of us feel like the way that Moses did. Who am I? I've messed up big time in my life. If we're afraid that if people were to find out what we have done, then no one would really like us. And so when it comes to our relationship with God, we feel the same way. We feel like, how can I serve God? I have disqualified myself from serving God. But this morning we have seen from the Bible that God chose Moses knowing everything that he has done. Even though Moses was a murderer, God still chose him. So this morning, as we share this cup, I want you to remember all of our sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. God looks at us differently now. And God calls every one of us to serve Him. So if God does not disqualify you, don't you dare to disqualify yourself. This morning, as we drink this cup together, let's thank God for His grace in our life, for calling us, for cleansing us to serve Him. Let's drink this cup. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we know that right now we are standing on a holy ground because we are in the presence of a holy God. God, so often we continue to make the mistake to make life about us. We think everything from our own perspective. We judge people by our standard. And very often we even judge You by our own standard. God, we ask for Your forgiveness. Transform our mind so that we will start to see things from Your perspective. God, we're so grateful this morning that you have shown us from Exodus how you can use anyone who struggles with obeying you. No matter how inadequate we feel, how insecure we are, no matter what kind of mistakes we have made in the past, you want us to be in an intimate relationship with you and to experience you as we step out in faith and serve you. So God, I pray for every single one of us here this morning, Lord. Whatever fears may have kept us from obeying your call in our lives, God, would you remove every single obstacle? Just like Moses, he had no more excuses. He could not run anymore. Make that the same with us, so that we cannot run from you anymore, Lord. The only thing we can do is to trust and obey. And I pray that this will start the journey for every single one of us to know you, to know that you are trustworthy, so that we can really live out the purpose that you have for us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the unchanging love from our Heavenly Father, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each and every single one of us, so that from this moment on, we will step out in faith and obey God's call. In Jesus' name, amen.